enough were fulfilled, he resolutely and determined decided to journey to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. And so begins the travel section of Luke's Gospel. For the next 20 weeks or so, up to the Feast of Christ the King, Sunday, November 24th, the Sunday before Thanksgiving, we will be hearing from this travel section in Luke's Gospel. On this hot and humid Sunday, a few days before our national holiday, July 4th, present an image of a nice, cool Sunday in autumn. A few days before Thanksgiving, provide a brief respite from the heat. So beginning today, whether on hot days or cold days, we are going on a long liturgical journey with Jesus. As we'll hear every Sunday from now on, Luke's version of how Jesus traveled from one town to another, healing, preaching, and teaching, will be as if we will be on a travel tour with Jesus. But Jesus had a purpose for his journey, a purpose which was part of his mission to which we are invited, a mission with the focus of getting to Jerusalem, an eternal Jerusalem. Why? Because as we have heard Jesus in today's gospel, he has made a determined resolution that he's being sent by the Father on a mission, and he wants us to join him. Notice how some people, we're not going to Jerusalem. It's bad news. His was, go to Jerusalem. The way you're preaching, you're going to die, man. And that was the message. Some of them didn't get it. A focused mission similar to the determined and dramatic decision that we heard Elijah make in the first reading, when he decided to follow the prophet Elijah. Did you notice the similarity between the gospel and the man with the plow and what was Elisha doing? He was plowing. Notice how Luke is playing along this reading. But also notice the first powerful words from Paul about freedom. You have a responsibility in the gift of freedom, and use it the way God intends, and not into bickering. Does that sound familiar? Or does it seem like a needed medicine for our own culture today? Where is the freedom that transcends the polarization of our nation? Something we can well discern in our own lives. And so like Elisha, following Elijah, like Jesus, going to Jerusalem, our readings are about freedom in our journey in life. For many of us, summer is a good season to do some travel, to do some journey. Here on the last day of June, summer like the breaking of a large wave on an ocean city or a Bethany beach, it opens up a freedom where summer vacations are breaking for many of us, sending many of us into the flow of trips, excursions, and for some of us, pilgrimages. This past Friday, I returned from a delightful pilgrimage to Spain. You see, I was in Spain for a four-day international conference involving spirituality and psychology, right in Loyola, a few hundred yards where Ignatius had his great moment of freedom, of conversion. It's something when you're there and hearing the words and knowing the way in which Ignatius discerned his own life and led to the establishment of the order of the Society of Jesus. When you're right there knowing he was recovering from his wounds, struggling, what does it mean to be a free human being? We hear the word discernment in the spiritual exercises, but it began when he was healed from his injuries from a battle. And they are talking, by the way, in 2 years it'll be the 500th anniversary of the conversion of Ignatius of Loyola. Stay tuned for some workshops and programs right here on at Holy Trinity about the meaning of conversion in our own lives. But before I got to Loyola, I did what Ignatius of Loyola did. Went to the Benedictines in Montserrat. You see, 2 years ago, right in our church, the boys' choir of Montserrat, 700 years old choir, performed. I hosted them. So I wanted them to return the favor. father was kind enough to remember me, and he said yes. So I had three wonderful days of being a Benedictine. 3 days is enough to tell me I ain't cut out. A lot of silence. And 7 times of prayer, enough already. But Ignatius, right there in that church, 500 years ago, took out a sword and gave it in front of Our Lady of Montserrat. It is very at the center of the Ignatian identity of surrender through discernment. And so after I went to the Benedictines, then the Jesuits, after the conference, of course, I went to Madrid for 3 days, a play. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes when you travel, you really, particularly in a foreign country, there are some, you know, misunderstandings or trying to get the language down, which I was getting pretty good at. But when I got in at Madrid after a rather long journey, and I had my big luggage, I took out my iPhone with the GPS, trying to figure out, okay, where this street is. Okay, and I guess Waze works in Spain. So I put on that, put the address, and the guy, the Jesuit, said it's 5 minutes. Well, that 5 minutes, folks, turned about into an hour of carrying my luggage. Why? Because I followed this, went down one street, think of it, going from here to the Safeway in Wisconsin. That's more than 5 minutes, particularly with luggage. So I'm zigzagging left, right, and what happened? I came back to the same place. And then it sent me another couple hundred yards. I had taken the car version of Waze, which follows the one-way signs. You know how it works in Washington? So I got, I finally got to my destination. It literally was from here to Georgetown, not from here to Safeway. What did I learn? Well, what Daniel Boone once said, I never got lost, but sometimes I took the longer way. But that's what a pilgrimage is. You know, in a real sense, that's the difference I like to suggest between taking a tour, which is all regulated, and being on a pilgrimage where some frustrations happen. And you get a sense of what is God teaching you? What does God teach us when we journey? What is it offered? Well, it's described so often, isn't it true? Our life is described as a journey. It has a beginning, an end, and along the way there are important stopping stations, even times of getting lost. Some years ago, I was exposed to a poet by name C.P. Kafafi, who wrote a poem called Ethaka. It's Ithaca, but the Greeks pronounce it as Ithaca. The context is this. Some of you know about Ulysses and the Iliad and the Homer and the Odyssey. After the Battle of Iliad, where Ulysses is the hero, you know, the Trojan horse, that was his idea. He wants to go home for a reunion with his wife Penelope and his son Timolaus. And he has his agent, Germany, and so gets in the boat. And this is where the journey, according to Kafafi, picks up. Think of the images in our own journey. When you set off on your journey to Ithaca, then pray that the road is long, full of adventure, full of discoveries. Do not fear the fierce Laestrygonians, the Cyclops, or the angry Poseidon. You'll never fear sight-finding things on the way, as long as you keep your thoughts raised high, as long as a rare excitement stirs your spirit and your body. Laestrygonians, Cyclops, wild Poseidon, you won't encounter them unless you bring them alongside your soul, unless your soul stirs them up for you. Then pray that your road is long. May there be many summer mornings when what pleases you, with what joy you enter harbors you're seeing for the first time. May you stop at Phoenician trading markets to buy fine things, mother of pearl and curl, amber and ebony. Sensual perfume of every kind, as many sensual perfumes as you can. And may you visit many Egyptian cities to learn and go on learning from their scholars. Keep Ithaca always in your mind. Arriving there is what you are destined for. But don't hurry the journey at all. better if it lasts for years. So you're old, and by the time you reach the island, wealthy, all you gain on the way. Not expecting a thought to make you rich, a thought that gave you the marvelous journey. Without her, you wouldn't have set out. She has nothing left to give you now. And if you find her poor, Ithaca won't have fooled you. Wise as you have become, so full of experience, you have understood by then what these Ithacas mean. Now, Kapapi really captured the spirit of Ulysses and that journey for every human soul. But there's one big difference between the journey of Ulysses for a reunion with his wife and son and the journey of Jesus to Jerusalem, the reunion to his father. For us Christians, then, it has more than a journey. It is a pilgrimage. We are like pilgrims of old, traveling together towards a special place, praying as we go, supporting one another around a Eucharist. As we face the challenges along our respective journey, Jerusalem is the backdrop for Jesus' journey. The eternal Jerusalem, the city to which we are called, like Jesus, by the Father, through the Spirit, in the Son. And so may Jesus' journey become our journey. And may we, like Jesus, keep our Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem, always in our mind as we journey in the adventures of life. That is the heavenly Jerusalem, always in our eyes, for to get there is truly our ultimate destination.